Good morning.
My name is Chase, and this is my beautiful wife, Rachel. And I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for the chance to speak today. Also wanted to say welcome to the Shorter University football team and their staff this morning. They're joining us to worship in the contemporary service, and we're so thankful you're here.
Hey, y'all, first of all, my voice is a little bit crazy today, so I apologize for that. But as we get geared up and excited for our fall Sunday school kickoff campaign, Ted had asked Chase and I to share a little bit about who we are and also about the college and young adult ministry that we have here at Pleasant Valley South. So I'll start. I grew up here in Rome and in the church and in our youth group. It was amazing. I graduated from Auburn for undergrad and West Georgia for graduate school. Chase and I dated some in high school and also in college.
Sorry, it's my turn. And I grew up in Rome and moved to Carrollton, where I graduated from the University of West Georgia. And Rachel and I lived there for several years after we got married.
Okay, so we have two children. We have Drayton, who's six. He'll turn seven in October, which is crazy. And then we have a new baby. Her name's Clara, and she just turned 11 months old. They are amazing.
They are. when we moved back to Rome, we really prayed for a place where we could get involved. And we decided that Pleasant Valley South was the best fit for us. So we started attending.
Yeah, so after we attended for a little while, we realized that we just weren't as plugged in as we wanted to be. And that's when we heard about Dennis and Rena's Bible study group, that it was for married couples who are about our age. And we decided that this was the opportunity for us to get more involved. Y'all, we are so thankful for the relationships that we built in that class and just the time that we had there, everything we learned, and the relationships we continue to build through our time with them. That group has rallied behind us when my mother has been sick or hospitalized, when we had Clara. They threw us a shower, and then they dropped off food. They loved on us. They pray for us daily, y'all. That group has really taught us about the purpose of Sunday school and just how important those classes are to the success of our churches.
And as all this had been going on, I had really just been praying for an additional opportunity to serve. And one day, Ted Fuller approached us after church about the possibility of leading the college and young adult ministry. And of course, we were excited, but of course, just nervous. Felt a little underqualified at first, but the thought of maybe teaching a Bible class was always something that we had entertained, but to take on a full-blown ministry just was something that we had to pray about, and we did. We prayed about it, and God put a lot of people in front of us that just gave us confirmation that we were exactly where we needed to be. And, we actually have been doing this for the past several months, and we're fairly new, but we're incredibly proud of each and every member of our college young adult ministry. They're awesome, and we've been so blessed by the support of the church. It's just been awesome.
Y'all, these students are absolutely amazing. They have been such a blessing to us, like Chase said. They show up, they study the word with us, they encourage us as much as we hope to encourage them, and y'all, they are the future of this church, or the churches and communities in which they settle after they graduate or if they move away. But y'all, that gives us so much hope. They're amazing. There are countless stories that we could stand up here and tell you just from the summer about how God has used them to answer our prayers. We also wanted to take this opportunity to ask each and every one of you guys that if you can think of some young person in this age group, both inside of our church and outside of our church, and invite them. Y'all, you can let us know. We would love to greet them. We have such a passion for students and young adults. So does this church, and they support this ministry. But we know that this group needs Jesus, and they also need a community of strong believers.
Absolutely. Yeah, as believers, we're called to a sense of urgency, and we try to live that out with our students. And we're also called to love people enough to talk to them about Jesus and share the gospel with them and talk to them about the work going on in and around the church. And we're just so thankful for the opportunity to serve, and we look forward to growing in this ministry and just do it all to the glory of our Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Chase and Rachel. You know, in the short time that Chase and Rachel has been leading our college and career ministry, they've done a tremendous job. They've shown great leadership, and God is doing a work in and through them in that ministry. We're so thankful for that. And I just ask you to join me in being in prayer for them as they continue to lead this important part of our ministry. You know, last Sunday, we officially started or began our new Sunday school campaign and promotion. And this is the second week of that, of course. And we'll be having Sunday school leaders and Sunday school class members speaking every week about the effect and the impact that Sunday school ministries had in their life. But, you know, the theme for our Sunday school campaign this year is Sunday school kickoff. And so it is a football theme, obviously, and so you'll be hearing more about that in the days and weeks to come. And we have a goal to average over 450 people in Sunday school beginning September 8th through September 29th, those four last weeks of September. So we're excited about that and look forward to what God is going to do in that, through that. But with the fact that the Shorter University football team is our guest here today, we're very thankful for that. And due to the fact that our Sunday school campaign has a football theme, my message for today is built around or in that context of football. So just want to let you know that. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. We see here the parable of the sower as told by Jesus. We know that Jesus used parables to teach a spiritual truth on a regular basis. We find about 35 or so parables in the scriptures as told by Jesus. And so this is the parable of the sower. Again, Matthew 13, verse 1 through 9. Notice it says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. God, we just pray that you give us insight into your word. Lord, show us what you would have us to know. Speak through me, I pray, in the words of John the Baptist, that I will decrease and you will increase. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the game of football, there is a statistic known as hang time. When the team is on offense and can't make a first down, they send the punt team in. And hang time is a measurement of time that begins when the punter kicks the football. Of course, it goes up in the air, and then the hang time ends when the ball either hits the ground or is caught by the opposing player. The longer the hang time, the better, because the longer the hang time, the more time the punt team has to advance down the field, more time they have to run down the field and tackle the player that catches the punt. The punter's hang time is a good illustration of what the Christian spiritual life should be like. The Bible says that we as Christians should grow and develop spiritually in our Christian life. We are called to strive for Christian maturity. We are told in the Bible to strive to be Christ-like. The Bible also says that we are to maintain a close personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, and that we're to live in obedience to Him. The punter's hang time begins at the moment his foot makes contact with the football. In our life as believers, in our life as Christians, our personal relationship with God begins at that moment of salvation. And after that, the Christian life should be a life of spiritual growth and development. You see, salvation is not the end, it's the beginning. Our salvation is a starting point for a long spiritual journey. Salvation, being a Christian, is not a one-time decision. The life of a Christian should be a lifelong process of intentionally striving to grow spiritually and to be Christ-like. Our spiritual growth should be like the punter's hang time. But unfortunately, sometimes our spiritual growth is more like a roller coaster. I was talking with Brother Billy the other day, and Billy shared with me that he had a birthday recently, I believe, and I was telling him that I have a birthday coming up next week, Tuesday to be exact, if you're interested. But we were talking about how we're all getting older, talking about how our children and our family is all getting older. But listen to me, listen. As believers, the expectation for us as brothers and sisters in Christ should not be that we just grow old together. The expectation for you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ should be that we grow up together spiritually. You see, there are a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about or address the issue of spiritual growth. And I to be honest with you, I had trouble kind of choosing specific verses to share with you this morning about spiritual growth. So I instead of just one, I've got several here I want to read to you. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grow, that spiritual growth of growing in grace and knowledge. Hebrews 6:1, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity." The Hebrew writer there is saying that when we are saved, the Bible teaches that we are babes in Christ. And he's saying here, let's move beyond that. Let's move along in the Christian life to maturity. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed." But there are many things that can hinder our spiritual growth. There are many things in life that can distract us from our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus, here in this passage, addresses one of those things, issues that can hinder our spiritual growth. We see here Jesus is speaking to a large crowd of people, and it says here, as I mentioned, it says here that he spoke in parables. Again, a parable is a short story that Jesus used to illustrate or communicate a spiritual lesson or spiritual truth. And so Jesus here, notice at the beginning of the parable, or at the beginning of his speaking, Jesus says, "Behold, behold." Jesus often used that word when he was teaching the people. He said, "Behold." And you look at that word in the original Greek language, it's a word that he's using emphasis. He's saying what we would say today is, "Listen up, pay attention." Jesus is telling the people that this is going to be good. You need to listen. And so the title of our lesson today, "What is your hang time?" Let's listen up and see what God has for us in this parable. Notice three things here in this passage. Number one, first of all, notice the seed. Notice the seed. Notice verse 3. He says, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow." This story is also told in the book of Luke. Now, in Luke's version of this story, it says the disciples asked Jesus, "What does this parable mean?" And chapter 8, verse 11 in the book of Luke says that Jesus said, Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So in this story, Jesus is using the sowing of seed as an illustration, and he specifically says here that the seed represents God's word. For us today, the seed represents the complete whole book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And we know and we believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible, holy, written word of God. Inerrant, of course, we know, means that it is without error. Infallible means that there is nothing false found in the Bible. It is all God's truth. You won't find fake news in the Bible, amen? It's all truth. It is all without error. And also, the Bible is timeless. The Bible is timeless. The Bible is as relevant today for us as it was the day it was written. I believe there is something being told today that's permeating our church that the Bible is no longer relevant, that it doesn't apply to our modern society. My friends, I submit to you this morning that that is a lie from the pits of hell that smells like smoke, so deep that it smells like smoke. This Bible, this book we call the Bible, is just as relevant for us today as it was when it was written, and this book will be relevant until Jesus comes. I read an article about the Philadelphia Eagles football team. It said in 2016 there was this convergence, this coming together of several Christian athletes on this professional football team. And it talked about how there was an unusually high number of Christian athletes on this one team. But there was these players who came on the team that one year. A lot of them were Christians, and they came on the team either by draft or by trade. And it talked about even the head coach that they hired that year was a very strong, committed Christian. But it said that on this football team, there were six or seven very dedicated, very committed Christian athletes, and they formed this core group. And it said that they were referred to as the God Squad. And it said this core group of Christian athletes developed four core beliefs that they were going to believe in, that they were going to adhere to, that would guide and direct these Christian athletes on this football team. Let me share those four things with you. Number one, notice first of all, it says that their core beliefs was, number one, having a relationship with the Lord is more important than religion. Number two, their identity is in Christ, not football. Number three, the importance of applying faith to family life. And number four, one of their core beliefs, number four, was they believed in the importance of making disciples. They understood the importance of the process of teaching, learning, and applying the word of God. They believed that. They understood that. That is what discipleship is, the process of teaching, learning, and applying God's word. An article said that they had a team Bible study every week, and they discipled players. They studied the word. They learned the word. They tried to apply it to their lives. An article went on to say that first year, these players were together and developed these core beliefs. They had five players that were saved and baptized there at the Eagles training facilities. And of course, the article went on to talk about their success on the field. They went on to win Super Bowl 52. Listen to me. This process of discipleship is the very core of Sunday school. It is the very foundation and basis of why we do Sunday school. Listen, we have great teachers, great dedicated, committed teachers here in our church that teach Sunday school, and they study and prepare those lessons every week, and they teach that lesson in the classroom every week on all levels of Sunday school. Our children's ministry teachers do a great job. Our youth ministry teachers do a great job every week. And, of course, we have great adult classes. They all do a fantastic job with that discipleship, that teaching of God's word. Let me tell you something. Listen, we have a team Bible study every Sunday morning right here at 9 o'clock. You ought to be a part of it. God is doing great things through Sunday school. And when the word is taught, it is God's word being sown. It is God's word being sown. So we see here, not only do we see here, number one, we see the seed. Notice number two, the sower. The sower, verse 3, it says, then he spoke many things to them in parables. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. This, Jesus uses seed here to represent God's word, and the sower of seed is God himself. God is the author, creator, and owner of this book. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The men who wrote this book were so controlled by the Holy Spirit and so led by the Holy Spirit, and that is if God had the pen in his hand himself. But listen, just like a farmer who owns the seed, he will sow it wherever, whenever, and however he wants. And so God's word, when it goes from the pulpit, from the Sunday school classroom, on radio, TV, in a book, on a mission trip, or when you read it on your individual time, that is God's word being sown. And when God's word goes out, it will make a tremendous impact. It will change lives. Isaiah 55:11, God says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In 2017, the Atlanta Falcons played in the Super Bowl, and during that week, prior to the Super Bowl, they had Media Day. Media Day, of course, is when they set up these tables and stations inside the stadium, and all the coaches and the well-known players go and give interviews to the media. Media from all over the world comes to Media Day. And so when the Falcons were in the Super Bowl, they had Media Day. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons at that time. Kyle Shanahan went to Media Day. He was carrying his own personal backpack, and he lost it. At Media Day, he lost his own backpack. As it turns out, a reporter from a San Francisco newspaper got Kyle Shanahan's backpack, and Kyle Shanahan ended up with the reporter's backpack. But here's the thing. Kyle Shanahan's backpack had inside the playbook for the Falcons for the Super Bowl. I still ain't got over that. But listen, in this book we call the Bible, God's playbook for our life. Am I right? Amen? This is God's playbook, and we need to make sure we don't have such a casual attitude about it. We need to make sure we're intentional about learning this book we call the Bible and applying it to our lives. This is God's playbook. He has a plan for your individual life. The only place you're going to find it is in this book. It begins here in his word. Number three, we see here not only the seed, we see number two, the sower. And number three, notice the soil. I wanted to get to this point and want to take time to break down what Jesus is saying here. And this is within verse 4-8. So let's part right here and let's notice what Jesus says. Here in this story, the seed is sown in four different types of soil. These four different soil conditions represent four conditions of the heart. When you plant real seeds, the condition of the dirt determines the life of the plant. The condition of the heart determines the effect of God's word. So first of all, four types of soil representing four conditions of the heart. Number one, first of all, notice the hard heart. The hard heart. Look at verse 4 real quick. Notice what it says. And he sowed some seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. During Jesus' day, the fields where they planted crops would have paths around the border of the field. And of course, the farmers and people would walk up and down that path. Animals would pull wagons and carts up and down that path. And of course, that foot traffic would make that ground hard. and the sun would shine on that ground and bake it, and that dirt would become hard as concrete. And so when the farmer would scatter seed, some of the seed would fall on that hard, packed dirt. And the seed would sprout, and it wouldn't be able to penetrate into that hard ground, into that hard dirt. And Jesus is telling us here that this represents a hard heart, and is a heart that is not receptive to the things of God and to the Word of God. So that brings the question, what would cause a person to have a hard heart? How would a person's heart get in that condition, not being receptive to the Word of God? It can happen to any of us. But I believe there are two reasons that cause a person's heart to be hard, like Jesus is talking about here. The first one is a person's pride. A person's pride. Now, we all struggle with pride, amen? And I don't get all holy on me now. We all struggle with pride, amen? Because we all have that sin nature. Because Adam and Eve committed that first sin, we're all born into this world with a sin nature, and part of the struggle of having a sin nature is sinful pride. I struggle with pride myself. I'll give you an example. I came on staff here as Minister of Education and Business Administrator last spring. My official start date was March 5th. Dr. May had called me around the end of January and said there was a position open here and asked me if I'd be interested, and met with him several times, went through the hiring process, was given the position. And so I started March 5th. And so when I got that position, I don't like to call it a job, I think of it more as a ministry. So when I got the position, you know, I was real excited. And I was very thankful that God's given me this opportunity. But I got a little too prideful about it. You know what I mean? I mean, I began to tell myself, I have arrived. What are y'all laughing at? No, really, you know my story. I worked in secular employment, and I was a part-time bivocational pastor for almost 25 years, and I retired from my secular employment and get a position here at the best church this side of heaven. I have arrived. I am somebody. That's exactly what I was telling myself. But within 30 days of being employed here, God showed me different. Warren Jones was asked to be my field training officer. We got an amen over here. My mentor, Warren held this job, same position several years ago, and he knows all about things. And let me just say, I'm going to talk about Warren in this story, and I'm going to talk about Donald Stone in this story, and I asked both of them for permission to tell this story, all right? So we're going to be okay, I think. within the first week or two, somebody comes to me and Warren and says, we want you to go down to this sign at the corner of Rockmart Highway and Preacher Smith Road and change the message on there and put on there a message to promote the children's Easter event. And Warren was like, how in the world are we going to do that? Now, understand, the sign is not there anymore, but this is a sign that was mounted on a pole, a big metal pole driven in the ground. You know, this is a big deal, big sign. Big metal pole, single pole, probably 20, maybe 25 feet high. The sign was there on top, and you had letters, and you could change the letters and the church information. And so we were to change that message on the south side of the sign and put a children's Easter message on there. And Warren, I didn't know. I had no clue. Warren called Donald Stone. And Donald Stone said, well, I tell you what, I'll drive my truck down there and I'll back my truck up to the sign and we'll just put some boards across the top of my truck and we can stand on those boards and change the sign. We got a picture of Donald's truck. There it is. You see, it's got the compartments on the side of the bed of the truck for tools. And you see that metal frame, that metal rack that's built up, and it's got the ladders on top from laid on there from front to back. Well, we were going to put boards across that metal frame in the bed of the truck side to side. Warren says, okay, we'll meet you down there. So we got the letters. We got in Warren's truck. We drove down there. So understand, I'm going to give you a visual. Here's Rockmart Highway running north and south right here. Mark and Miriam are in the southbound lane right over there. All right? And Preacher Smith Road runs in an angle and intersects with Rockmart Highway. And here's the sign. So we drive down there. We get out. We look at it. And Donald Stone, now let me tell you this. They also said I could tell you this part. Warren Jones at the time was 74, maybe 75 years old. Donald Stone at the time, he told me I could say this. These are great men. I love them both. Pillars of the community, assets to the church, lifelong members of the church. But anyway, Donald Stone was 85 years old. So we get down there. And we get out of the truck and we're surveilling this thing, and here's what I'm thinking. I look around, I realize I'm the youngest one there. And I thought, I'm going to have to be the one to get up on those boards. Number one, because I'm the youngest one here. And number two, I sure don't want them to make me look bad. So he backs his truck up to the sign. I got to hurry. I know I'm running over, but stay with me. Listen, he backs up to the sign. We get out. We put the boards on top of the truck. And I'm wearing slacks, shirt, and a coat, sports coat. And so I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, I got to take my coat off, and I'll let Mr. Stone hold my coat. That'll make him feel important, you know. So I'm doing this with my coat, and I get it to about right here, and I see something out of the corner of my eye, and I look, and Warren Jones is standing up on them boards. I mean, I see that blue background behind him there, and I got kind of emotional. I almost cried. All he needed was a Superman cape, because he was just standing there. You know what I did? Here's what I did. I got the letters, Billy. I stepped up on the bumper, the back bumper of the truck, and I acted like I was working really hard. Here, Warren, here's the letters. So we got that side changed. And so Warren and I had noticed on the opposite side of the sign facing north, there was one letter missing. We weren't going to change that one. That had the service times for the church. One letter missing, and we had gotten that letter, and we're going to replace it. So Warren comes down. Mr. Stone moves his truck, pulls around the other side, backs up to the pole, and I'm thinking, I got to get up on them boards. Donald Stone is not going to beat me up on them boards. So he backed up to the pole. We're going to change that. We're put in that one letter. No, I know I'm not being correct here for the camera, but let me show you what happened. When he backed up to the pole, because of the lay of the ground, the bumper on this side was higher than normal. You know, this truck was kind of sideways. And so I'm going to get up on those boards, bless God, And so I put my foot, I'm straining to get my foot up on the bumper. And I reach for that pole, and I'm trying to get some momentum going to get up on the bumper, you know. I'm like, yo, wait a minute. Hold on, give me a minute. And I look, and Donald Stone is standing in the bed of the truck. Wait, Mr. Stone, wait. Next thing I know, Donald Stone had done hopped up on those boards. He looked like a little squirrel. Bloop, bloop. And changed the letter, and we were done. Warren and I got back in his truck, headed back to the church. I believe God spoke to me. He said, Ted, you need to join White Flag Fitness. I said, but Lord, that's an all women's fitness class. He said, I know. That part really didn't happen. But that's the way I felt. Listen, God gave me this message. Listen, we all struggle with pride, but here's the thing. Jesus saying, sometimes we have a hard heart that doesn't receive the things of God. It can happen to any of us. Listen, when it comes to our spiritual growth and development, none of us should ever tell ourselves, I have arrived. The choir did a great job singing a moment ago about the moment that we see Jesus. The Bible says we will one day be in the presence of Jesus, and it says that we will behold him. It says that we will see him, and we will be like him. At that moment, I'm going to shout, I have arrived. Amen, church? But until then, we got to have a heart that's receptive to the Word of God. So we see here, Jesus is teaching about a hard heart. One of the things that can cause a hard heart is pride. Another thing is a person's past. You may have experienced something negative, experience in the past, and that's hardened your heart. Listen, open your heart to the Word of God. It will ease your pain. God's Word can mend your broken heart. So we see not only they talk about a hard heart, talks about a shallow heart. Go through these quickly with me if you would. That's in verse 5 and 6. The seed falls on the dirt, but the dirt's very shallow. It mainly it's mainly rocks with a thin layer of dirt, and the seed sprouts, but it doesn't take root. This represents a person who is excited and on fire for God, but after a short period, the fire goes out. This is what I call an Alka-Seltzer Christian. It's plop, plop, fizz, fizz, and they're gone. And so Jesus is saying this person hasn't really had a salvation experience. They've made a middle decision. They get on fire, and then when hard times come, they're gone. And then he talks about, in verse 7, a crowded heart. This person allows the things of this world to get them distracted. These things allow other things to choke or overtake the things of God or the Word of God. But here we go. This is where we want to be. This is what we want right here, is a fruitful heart, verse 8 and 9. Listen, let's read that together. He says, but others fell on what, church? Good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The success of the seed is dependent upon the condition of the soil. Let's have a heart that is receptive to the Word. If we receive it and apply it, God will do amazing things. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God has a plan for you. God loves you. He sent his Son to die for you, and it's all found here in his Word. If you're here today, you've never taken that first step, you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, let me just encourage you that today our musicians are going to come in just a moment and lead us in an invitation hymn. I'm going to invite you to come, step forward here in this service or the other service. The people there will be waiting, and you just come and let that person know you need to be saved, and they'll lead you through that. Maybe God has spoken to your heart about your spiritual growth and development and how you need to be more engaged in that. And also, I invite you to come. But here's the thing. Listen, I want to talk about Sunday school today. We're starting our Sunday school kickoff campaign. And I'm going to ask anyone that will, specifically ask you to come and let's pray about our Sunday school ministry. I don't mean to discredit or minimize any other ministry, but Sunday school ministry is important ministry. And I'm going to ask our teachers to come pray for their classes. Class members, come pray for your teachers and your class. And let's pray for our Sunday school kickoff campaign. All right? We'll do that in just a moment. Let's pray.